Lecture topic, Omar Al-Khattab, Vision for the Advancement of the Community, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bi hadyihi wa iqtada bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, every Muslim without exception, male or female, young or old, educated or uneducated, has the desire, passion and vision to see the growth, the spread and the prosperity of Islam. So the entire 1.5 odd billion Muslims are on a common page when it comes to the vision of this Ummah. But this very Ummah, as much as it has a common vision, grossly differs when it comes to navigating the way forward. When it comes to mapping out this way forward, what a common goal, what's the way forward? Some will argue the need of political clout. Others might argue the need of economic muscle. And some would deliberate over the fragmentation of this Ummah, and rightfully so. There would yet be another group from amongst us that would say the scholars are too lame and inactive. And that might prompt a response by saying, no, the masses are not passionate and active. And perhaps I must share with you one of the most profound quotes I have ever read in my life in this regard, where a scholar was asked, and this is mentioned in Tanbihul Ghafilin, مَا بَالُ عُلَمَاءِ زَمَانِنَا لَا يَتَّعِذُ النَّاسُ بِمَوَاعِظِهِمْ كَمَا يَتَّعِذُ السَّلَفِ. What has happened to the scholars of today? They don't have vigor, they don't have direction, they don't have passion, and they cannot mobilize and navigate effectively and objectively. So the answer that was given is so appropriate and all-embracing across all times. The scholar Jazahullahu Anna Khair al-Jaza said, Inna ulama as-salaf kanu ayqaba wa kana an-nasu niyama fa nabbaha al-ayqadu an-niyam wa ulama zamanina niyamun wa an-nasu mauta. He said, Inna ulama as-salaf, the scholars of the previous era, they were active, they were vigilant, they were passionate, they were hands-on. وَكَانَ النَّاسُ نِيَامًا, and the masses were asleep. They were in slumber. فَنَبَّهَ الْأَيْقَاظُ النِّيَامُ. So the scholars came by, they nudged the masses, gave them an injection, gave them some vitamins, and revived them. But tragically today we face a scenario, علماء زماننا نيام والناس موتى. The scholars are asleep while the masses lay dead. The scholars are asleep while the masses are dead. So how can a sleeping scholar revive a dead human? And this is the place where we find the Ummah today, in this crisis and this confusion and at this crossroad. So there will be a dozen theories, if not 100 theories, circulating on all social networks. If only this, if only this, that would be an ideal, that would be a real situation. I present before you not my theory, not my vision, but a man who ruled with such justice, the likes of which the planet has never seen. And I'm referring to none other than Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. In English they say, it's very difficult to lead someone beyond the point you have been to. It's very difficult to lead someone beyond a point you have gone to. You haven't reached this point and you want to take people beyond. It's a shot in the dark. It's far-fetched. It's remote. Imam Bukhari makes mention in Tariqh al-Saghir. Imam Bukhari, and this is another thing. We are living in a time where people think Imam Bukhari only had authored Bukhari Sharif. It's like, oh, I didn't know Imam Bukhari mentions in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Really, Shaykh, Imam Bukhari had authored this book as well? That's how shallow our knowledge is. That's how limited our understanding is. It's like standing at the shores and estimating the depth of water. So in Tariqh al-Saghir, on page 29, on the strength of Zayd bin Aslam, who narrates from his dad, that one day Sayyidina Umar had gathered the Sahaba. And you're talking of an era rich with great giants. You had the veterans of Badr, you had the veterans of Uhud. When Sayyidina Umar had dispatched the campaign under the auspices and the leadership of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, the demographics of that campaign were as follows. 99 Badriyan. There were 99 veterans of Badr in that campaign. 300 were those who witnessed the conquest of Mecca. 300 were from those who had pledged their allegiance beneath the tree on the occasion of Hudaybiyah. 700 min abna'i as-sahaba, and 700 from the direct descendants of Sahaba. Can you imagine the richness of that era? Can you imagine the profoundness of that congregation? You're not talking to, oh, each man in his individual capacity was a giant. So Sayyidina Umar has this room brimming to capacity. And he poses a question to the general audience. He says, folks, each one of you will be given a chance, and I give you the reference. Express your dream, manifest your vision, verbalize your opinion. What do you wish must happen to this ummah? Where to from here? فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ مِلْءَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ دَرَاهِمْ فَأُنْفِقُهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. One of them said, I wish I had this room brimming with dirhams, not so that I could hoard it or amass it, but so that I could own it and dispense it and donate it and contribute it in the path of Allah. That's my dream. I live by owning or wishing to own for the cause of deen. Great, brilliant, awesome, meritorious. Sayyidina Umar says, pass it on to the next man. And understand, you're not engaging kids, right? I'm reminded when we were in school, juvenile delinquency, none of us can claim independence of it. The best of us also, we know what's our past. So the boy comes home and he says, Dad, I got my report from school and I found yours in the closet also. Dad, I got my report and I found yours as well. So like, you know, don't start that in our days we were these saints and these angels. So anyway, I remember this distinctly and it's got an indelible impression in my mind. There was a teacher in my primary schooling days. And one day she asked us in class, imagine you were a president. So you run your imagination and you take it to the furthest point. I would have done this, I would have ruled like this, I would have owned, I would have traveled, I would have done globe trotting, oh, I would have done the rest of it. Imagine you were a mayor, I would have done this. But one day, unfortunately, she took it too far. And she said, imagine you were God. Now you need to understand the implications of this. In your naive mind, in your constrained understanding, when you're telling a child, imagine this, automatically he wants to up the president. He wants to do something better. So I would eradicate this violence. I would eradicate poverty. I would do away with this. And Allah forbid, if you're telling that to a child, imagine you were God. So in his limited understanding, may Allah forbid and protect, he's going to do something suggesting or insinuating that I'm going to do something better than what Allah has done, Allah protect. But when you ask an obnoxious question, then the response will be no less. So this guy was a colorful character, juvenile delinquency, bubbly. Ma'am, I've got the answer. It's like, what? Yeah. Ma'am, if I was God, I don't think I would have created you.
Whoa!
You rude little thing. You silly sausage. You nasty kid. Sayyidina Umar is engaging intellectual individuals. Pass the microphone to the next man. أتمنى أن يكون ملء هذا البيت ذهبا فأنفقها في سبيل الله. I wish this room was brimming with chunks of gold. And I owned it so that I could spend it in the causes of deen. Benefit the masses of Allah. Assist the creation of Allah in all forms, shapes, or size. Without any distinction or differentiation. Pass it to the third person. أتمنى أن يكون ملء هذا البيت جوهر. I wish it was filled with rubies, with precious stones. But Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't looking impressed by these sentiments that were being expressed. In a nutshell, with diversity of expression, the common thread that binds the three were, own something precious to enhance the cause of Islam. That sums up the aspiration of these Sahaba respectively. So the common thread between all is owning something precious so that I could enhance the cause of deen. But like I said, Umar wasn't up in all excitement and he didn't really acknowledge. Great, wonderful. There's a moment of silence. Someone says to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, would you perhaps be kind enough to tell us what is your dream and what are you anticipating to hear from us? He said, you really want to hear what I have to say? They said, please, precisely, that's why we asked the question. He said, أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ مِلْأَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ رِجَالًا مِثْلَ أَبِي عُبَيْدَةٍ وَمُعَاذٍ وَحُذَيْفَةَ ابْنَ الْيَمَانِ فَأَسْتَعْمِلُهُمْ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ I wish I could clone and have a mass production of 1,000 Huzaifa ibn Yaman. And I wish I could manufacture 500 Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. And I wish I had 100 Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And then leave the planet to me and these three, and I'll take care of the crisis in the whole world. Leave the entire world to me with these three people, and I will take care of the entire world. Now let's introspect and let's dissect. What was it in the lives of these three individuals that Sayyidina Umar was screaming out for? Surely it was something greater than their companionship with the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because if it was only that factor per se, then all the Sahaba were equal. Every one of them enjoyed the companionship. But there was something coupled with that companionship. There was something in addition to that companionship that Umar was seeking. And I say to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar, you had the original in one form and you wanted to multiply them, which you couldn't. But take solace from the fact you had the original. We don't even have the generic. We don't even have a replica. We don't even have a fake version. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was in the throes of death, and came the time of his succession and his nomination. Real challenging task. Who's going to take the reins of this empire? Who's going to take the ummah forward? So he speaks to Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was his devout and close confidant. And he says, oh Ibn Abbas, I have really been burdened by who should I put in my place to succeed me. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Aina anta min fulan? Wa aina anta min fulan? What about this particular sahabi? What about so and so? He said, no, I don't think you're understanding the daunting responsibility of this khilafat. Surely he's a great man, but I doubt he can bear this colossal weight. What about so and so? He's a great man, but this is not an easy role to fill in. And then he said the words that need to be engraved in gold. He said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَسْلُحُ لِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ إِلَّا قَوِيٌّ مِنْ غَيْرِ ضُعْفٍ لَيِّنٌ مِنْ قَوِيٌّ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُنْفٍ لَيِّنٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ ضُعْفٍ جَوَّادٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ صَرْفٍ مُمْسِكٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ بُخْلٍ.
He said, I'm looking for a man who's strong but who's not harsh. A man who's gentle but who's not weak. A man who spends but is not extravagant. And a person who withholds but he never mises. I'm looking for a man, قويٌ, every guardian, every custodian, every leader, every driver, every pilot. قويٌ, he needs strength but not harshness. لَيِّنٌ, he needs to be soft but he mustn't be weak. جَوَّاد, he must be generous but he mustn't be an extravagant person. And then he appointed the committee of six, which the Arabic poet said, لَمَّا قَضَى صَدِيقُ أَحْمَدَ نَحْبَهُ دفع الخلافة للإمام الثاني أعني به الفاروق فرق به بين الحق والباطل ومضى وخلى الأمر شورى بينهم في الأمر فاجتمعوا على عثمان من كان يسهر ليلة في ركعة فيكمل ختمة القرآن والويل للركب الذين سعوا إلى عثمان فاجتمعوا على العصيان ويل لمن قتل الحسين فإنه قد باء من مولاه بالخسران لسنا نكفر مسلما بكبيرة والله ذو عفو وذو غفران. واو amazing. لَمَّا قَضَى الصَّدِيقُ أَحْمَدَ نَحْبَ. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fulfilled his pledge and he moved on, دَفَعَ الْخِلَافَةَ لِلْإِمَامِ الثَّانِي. He handed the reins to the man to succeed him, and that was Sayyidina Umar. أَعْنِي بِهِ الْفَارُوقُ. This is reference to Sayyidina Umar, who differentiated between truth and falsehood. And then when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed on, مَضَى, he moved on, وَخَلَّ الْأَمْرَ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And then he formed a committee of six people. And he said, before the sun sets on the western horizon of the third day, you must conclude, be concluded, and finalize on who you have nominated from these six people. فَجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ عُثْمَانِ. And the consensus was on Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه. And then the poet said, مَنْ كَانَ يَسْهُرُ لَيْلَةً فِي رَكْعَةٍ فَيُكَمِّلُ خَتْمَةَ الْقُرْآنِ. Suffice to say, in the accolade of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was that khalifa of this ummah that his night would go in one rak'at of prayer and he would complete the entire Quran by night. وَالْوَيْلُ لِلْرَكْبِ الَّذِينَ سَعَوْا إِلَىٰ عُثْمَانَ فَاجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ الْعِسْيَانِ. What a moment of gloom and doom in our history when people from within our ranks mobilized to assassinate such a great person, the carrier of two lights, and that is the two daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar said, I appoint a committee of six people and I have put this measure in place, and by the third night one of them must be appointed, and I do this only because Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah has passed away. لو كان أبو عبيدة ابن جراح حياً لاستخلفته. If Abu Ubaidah, the one he screamed out for, if he was alive, we wouldn't be having this deliberation of 3 days and six people. Without winking my eye or twitching my gaze or cracking my voice, I would have nominated him. فَإِن سَأَلَنِي رَبِّي. And then if I had to appear before my Allah and my Allah had to ask me, مَنِ اسْتَخْلَفْتَ يَا عُمَر. Umar, who did you leave in charge of this ummah? I would have confidently said, اسْتَخْلَفْتُ أَمِينَ اللَّهِ وَأَمِينَ رَسُولِهِ. Allah, I left that man in charge who your Nabi said I must trust the most. But he's moved on. Hence I had to create a committee of six people. And we had to now handpick and select. And we had to brainstorm and deliberate. So what did Sayyidina Umar said? I don't need chunks of gold. I don't need these precious stones and rubies. I need Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah on my side. What was the salient feature with which this individual was identified? And that's my message. Let's look at their lives and isolate what was in them that Umar was calling out to and screaming out for? And if we can mimic that, hopefully we can make a change on a micro level and it can have macro ripples. On a small scale, and it can have ripples across, positive ripples across the continent and across the planet. It was the aspect of honesty and loyalty, the aspect of commitment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li kulli ummatin amina." Every nation prides itself with their trustworthy individuals. Wa aminu hadhihi al-ummah. And when it comes to this ummah, we pride ourselves with the man Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. So you would know about this particular man. He was sent to Sham, and may Allah make it easy for the Muslims in Syria and throughout the war-torn zones. He was ruling and he was governing, and Allah gave victory to the Muslims, and then an epidemic broke out, and Sayyidina Umar had requested his return, but he declined. And then in the fatal illness, he responded and he said, "I doubt I will live, O Umar, and I'm going to pass on." And then he gave the great advices and many advices he shared. And he said, "Aqimu salah wa atu zakah." Observe your prayer, discharge your zakat. "Wa'lamu," and remember, "Inna al-mar'a law umira alf hawlin ma kana lahu buddun an yasira ila masra'i hadha." Even if you live for 1,000 years, death will come your way as it has come my way. "Inna Allah katab al-maut ala bani Adam." Allah has decreed death for every man, for every human. "Akyasuhum atwa'uhum li rabbihi." The best amongst you are those who obey Allah the most. And saying that, and this is the time when you say the ummah was rich. He said, "I'm moving on and I call Mu'adh ibn Jabal to replace me." And if you look in this hadith of Sayyidina Umar, this quotation, the three people that Umar called out to, one was Abu Ubaidah, the next was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The point I'm saying, there was a time in our history when we lost one giant, we were substituted by another father. We had another guardian. But today we are orphans. We are orphans in the world, my brother. When we look, we are leaderless. On the political front, on the social front, in terms of our family structures, in terms of our religious structures, we are orphans. There's just no leaders left to whom we can turn and find direction and navigation. And what did the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? "Luka ibn Luka." When you will lose the one wicked leader, you will be substituted by someone who's more wicked than his predecessor. And that's where we find ourselves. So the first quality that the ummah needs to effect a change on the world is how I can bring loyalty in my relation. They say loyalty is much better than fame. To be famous is not great, to be loyal is great. To be faithful in your relation is much greater. So here is the occasion when the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for Badr. And you know the incident, Hudhaifa ibn Yaman and his dad, Yaman radiyallahu anhumah, as they leave Makkah, they were apprehended and intercepted by the intelligence of the disbelievers. And they wouldn't release them on the condition, or they wouldn't release them because they assumed these two individuals will form as reinforcement for the Muslims against the imminent battle that was to take place. So after much negotiation, Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said to the disbelievers who had apprehended them, that "Release us and our word, our honor, our commitment, we will not join the ranks of the Muslims. We will go to Medina and we will live there." You look at the incident of Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu when he migrated from Makkah. He was apprehended, surrounded, ambushed by the disbelievers. And he said to them and he negotiated with them. He said, "Listen folks, I'm a great archer. And as long as I have one arrow in my quiver, I won't allow you to come close to me. I have done absolutely nothing to you, but you harass me to practice my faith. If you want, I will negotiate with you. You can go to Makkah. This is my treasures. Take all my wealth, all my assets, all my properties. But allow me a free passage to Medina for the preservation of my faith." And they agreed, and he allowed all his treasures to be taken. And as he enters into Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel comes affirming this transaction. ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد.
Some are very wise in the deals they strike. Some are very measured in the transactions in which they engage. They prepared to part with whatever they own to preserve their faith. Congratulate him, Allah says, profitable transaction indeed. You've struck a great deal, you've protected your iman. I said to a young man under this ayah, I said, you're going to buy at this shop. It might cost you a dollar less. But you know there's a young woman there of beauty and attraction over which you have an infatuation. And you're going to cost, it's going to cost you your iman. It might cost you two extra dollars to go around the block, but you know there is no threat to your iman. Be wise and spend the extra dollars and save your iman and don't risk your faith.
Salil Muftiy al-Makkiy min Ali Hashim. Salil Muftiy al-Makkiy min Ali Hashim.
Someone came and wrote a note to Imam Shafi and said, you the great mufti of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Hashim is in his ancestry, who was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When infatuation grips a young man, what is the way out? How does he deal with this attachment, this illicit relation? So Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah responded by saying, tell him that what he must do in a situation like this, يُدَاوِي قَلْبَهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ. He must treat his malady and conceal his fantasy. He must treat his malady and he must conceal his fantasy.
وَيَصْبِرْ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْضَعُ.
And tell him to persevere on the decree of Allah and to submit his head in submission to the command of Allah. So the young boy retorts and he says,
كَيْفَ يَصْبِرُ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى.
You tell him to persevere, but every day his infatuation over this woman is giving him a new blow and is killing him a fresh kill. Every day he goes through his grave and his fantasy and his fluctuation, and he doesn't know what to deal with himself.
The Urdu poet said, Be parda haseeno se hua tang zamana, aankho ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana. Be parda haseeno se hua tang zamana, aankho ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana.
Your gaze roams and then it plays tricks with your heart.
Lekin agar aankho ko tu unse na bachaye, mumkin nahi dil ka tere unse bachana.
If you don't avert your gaze, don't even try to avert your thoughts, because your heart is a victim of your gaze.
Pagal ki tarah chalte hain ushaq majazi, bechain hai din raat ye badnaam zamana.
These fake lovers roam the streets aimlessly, knowing not which way to turn. So what did he say? He said,
yudawi hawahu wa yaktumu sirrahu.
Tell him to treat his malady and to conceal his fantasy.
Wa yasbiru fi kulli al-umuri wa yakhda'u.
And he must persevere on all matters and submit and surrender. So the young boy retorts and he says,
كَيْفَ يَصْبِرُ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى.
You're asking me to contain my fantasy for this woman when it kills me a fresh kill every day. How can I live without her?
وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ غُصَّةٌ.
And every day I have to drink this bitter pills of love and infatuation. And the Imam goes on to say, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ.
There is no way out. The only way out is to persevere and to come out of it.
Shaykh, but I have this weakness. I have this crave. I have this infatuation. Anyway, coming back to the incident. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, he gives everything. The Quran affirms the nobility and the authenticity of his transaction. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu says, we were apprehended. After much negotiation, we were released, provided we did not add as reinforcement to the ranks of the Muslims in the campaign of Badr. We left, we came to Medina. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving out. We join him, and I just bounced it off him. I said, oh Prophet of Allah, we were apprehended on the outskirts of Mecca, and we were then intercepted. They wouldn't release us. And then on the pretext that we won't join you, we will release. But I obviously just said that to appease them, to keep them at arm's length, to keep them at bay. The Nabi of Allah said, Nafi bi'ahdihim. Nafi bi'ahdihim. We are a nation that will honor a casual promise, a committed promise, a promise made in earnest or jest, a promise made to a fellow believer or a fellow disbeliever. I'm sorry, Huzaifa, we are going. You can stay in Medina and pray for us. But the word you gave to Abu Jahl doesn't allow you to join our ranks. Nafi bi'ahdihim thumma nasta'inullah. We honor our contracts with them and then we seek the aid of Allah. We break our promises and then we ask for divine intervention. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lost his honorable spouse Khadija radiallahu anha, and then his proposal was taken to the respective spouses, and amongst them was Aisha radiallahu anha. And what an honor, what a privilege for any house to receive a proposal from the paragon of Allah's creation, from the noblest of all humankind. And Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha brings the proposal to Umm Ruman, the spouse of Abu Bakr, whose actual name was Zainab radiallahu anha, the mother of Aisha radiallahu anha. So when she received this proposal, she was overwhelmed, she was ecstatic, she was elated, but she said, hang on, I need to share this with my husband Abu Bakr. And Mut'im ibn Adi has spoken to Abu Bakr regarding his son Jubair. And he has expressed some inclinations to our daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. So we first need to conclude if he's pursuing his interest or not. Understand, you have an ordinary mortal, a simple human, Mut'im ibn Adi, on behalf of Jubair, a regular man, and this proposal is met with the greatest of proposal. One is to say, tough luck, we don't care less. He never came up, we're moving on, we've got this great proposal. But what did Umm Ruman radiallahu anha say? Ma akhlafa Abu Bakrin wa'dan qattu. Abu Bakr will never ever go against his word. And there have been some subtle exchange of words that Mut'im ibn Jubair is interested for his son. Mut'im ibn Adi is interested for his son regarding our daughter. So let Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu take the matter forward. If there's any luck, we will go. If not, obviously with open arms. Immediately Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes to the house, and this is mentioned in Sirat al-Mustafa and other books of tafsir, in other books of Sirat. And he goes there and he says, listen Mut'im, I have come to you. You've made some whispers regarding my daughter, that you intend wedding my daughter to your son. Are we going ahead with this relation, or is it high and dry? Can we tie up the loose ends? Can we conclude this? Or are we not going to solemnize this marriage? He said, no, I'm afraid that if my daughter weds your son, perhaps she might also forsake the creed of her ancestors. So you're free and you are at liberty to move on. It was only after this was concluded did Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu come back. And he said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one thing that was pending in this equation for me to accept the proposal, and that was a subtle contract that I had made with a fellow non-Muslim, and I needed to finalize this. But now that he has dropped this proposal, it's my honor and my privilege, my fortune and my honor, that I can have my daughter wedded to your Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The opening remarks, and I tie it up, and again, and I'm harping on this message here. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, give me three people and I will rescue the crisis of this earth. And amongst them was Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And what was the salient feature to which Umar was calling out? It was the aspect of loyalty and honesty, which has become absent and forgotten in this ummah. We move on to the next sahabi, Sayyidina Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu. He was the second out of the three that Sayyidina Umar was wishing for. What was in the life of this individual amongst everything else, which we have unfortunately lost our guard on? Huzaifa ibn Yaman was that individual who used to concern himself about the viruses more than the vitamins. كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. Everybody would ask the Prophet of Allah, spell out to us the prosperity, spell out to us the victory, the great days that are coming ahead of us. And I would go to him and I say, O Nabi of Allah, whisper to me the setbacks of this ummah. Whisper to me the dark days. Whisper to me the gloomy moments of this ummah. مَخَافَةَ أَن يُدْرِكَنِي. So that I could insulate myself. I could inoculate myself. I could fortify myself against these imminent and inevitable vices that was going to plague and grip this ummah. But I'm afraid we have become calm and relaxed. And we only worried about the good and forgot about the viruses that has come out and that has plagued one and all. He used to say, and this is vital and this is key and this is integral, لَيْسَ خِيَارُكُمْ أَلَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ الدُّنْيَا لِلْآخِرَةِ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ الْآخِرَةِ لِلدُّنْيَا. The best amongst you are not those who forsake the akhirah to secure this world. Nor do you form the best of this ummah who totally forsake this world for akhirah. وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ وَهَذِهِ. But the best amongst you are those whom Allah favors with the vision and the ability to strike the fine balance. In English they say, life is all about balance. Life is all about balance. And one of the most difficult balances to strike is the one involving freedom and responsibility. Life is all about balance. But one of the most difficult balances to strike is the balance that involves responsibility and freedom. Where do I draw that fine line? And that's what the Quran said. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Do not neglect and omit your share in this world. Huzaifa ibn Yaman was amongst those people who had an active hand in the compilation of the Mus'haf and uniting the Ummah on a correct form of Qira'ah. He was amongst those people responsible for the victory in many of the lands of Iraq. When it was his inevitable death, and then it was the close moments for him to pass on, he asked his colleagues, have you brought my kafan? So they said, yes. So these were the pious people. They even gave advice as they moved on. Their legacy was as they passed on. That is why somebody said in the English language, he lives a long life who continues to live in the hearts of people after his demise. He lives a long life who continues to live in the hearts of people. They live the life that they are alive within us. They haven't died. They lived with us and they continue to live. He said, لا تغالوا بالأكفان. Don't ever waste your money in exclusive cloth to wrap the corpse of a dead person. فَإِن يَكُنْ لِي عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٍ بُدِّلْتُ بِهِ خَيْرًا. If I am considered noble in the court of Allah, then the cloth with which you wrap and shroud me is merely a temporary form of wrapping me. The real wrapping happens in akhirah post my death. وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْأُخْرَى سُلِبَ مِنِّي. And if I am wicked in the eyes of Allah and I am evil and I am destined for hell, then the exclusive nature of your cloth cannot offset the chastisement of hellfire. So what am I getting out of that cloth? And when death came to him, he said, جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ جَاءَ الْحَبِيبُ عَلَى شَوْقٍ. That which I've been praying for, hoping for, anticipating for has come to me. So what's the key message from the life of Huzaifa that we learn? That he had this balance between dunya and akhirah. And more important than that is to insulate yourself against all the fitnas. To take measures to protect yourself. You're worried about the virus that hits your computer. You're worried about the lightning that strikes all your devices. What about the attack and the onslaught that attacks your faith and your iman, that creates a tremor in the best of faith? And the third person to whom Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was calling out was none other than the giant Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Wow, what a rich legacy. What a great man. Ayd ibn Abdullah said, I walked into the masjid in the early days of the Khilafat of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. There was this young gathered, bid'un wa thalathun. There were 33 odd people. وَفِي وَسْطِهِمْ شَابٌ. There was a young man, شَدِيدُ الْأُدُمَ. He was dark-skinned. I was reading بَحْرُ الْعُلُومِ تَفْسِيرِ سَمَرْقَنْدِ. And in fact, I tweeted this as I was reading. It struck me so heavy. Regarding Sa'id ibn Jubair, someone described him. We know he was of African origin, dark-skinned, from the African continent. But the description given there was so amazing, especially in a time and in an era and in a period where so much focus is on a person's external beauty and very little is done or said about a person's internal beauty. It's everything like pre-orthodontics, post-orthodontics, pre-surgery, post-surgery. Get your hair back and claim your life back. It's like, you know what, if you're bald, you lost everything. So the description given there of Sa'id ibn Jubair was, كَانَ أَسْوَدَ اللَّوْنَ أَبْيَضَ الْخِصَالِ. كَانَ أَسْوَدَ اللَّوْنَ أَبْيَضَ الْخِصَالِ. He was a man whose complexion was dark, but his attributes were fair. His qualities, his attributes were white in color. His skin was dark. And what matters with Allah is your attributes. Not the color of your skin. It all happens with your attributes. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Shadidul Udma, he was dark skinned. Hulul Mantiq, he was very, very sweet in his speech. Today, if you listen to the average young man, the vulgarity that comes out of the lips of the best of youth, you'll be appalled. And remember, when you speak vulgar, you act vulgar and you behave vulgar. When you speak vulgar, you act vulgar. And today, if you look at so many of these devices, they have been created with vulgarity within it. So many of these navigations, you have a choice between a male speaking and a female speaking, a dignified English or vulgarity. It's just like to provoke you. Instead of saying, gentlemen, take a U-turn when possible, there's a couple of F's and B's and other language and tells you take a turn. Like, what do you get out of this? Hulul mantiq, sweet in his speech. إِذَا اشْتَبَهَ عَلَيْهِمْ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الْحَدِيثِ أَسْنَدُوهُ إِلَيْهِ. Whenever there was a complexity which they couldn't resolve, they would direct it and instantly he would respond and he would create harmony and reconcile between the apparently contradicting nusus. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, كُنَّا نُشَبِّهُ مُعَاذًا بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ. What did Sayyidina Umar said? Just give me one Mu'adh and I will take care of the world. And I'm giving you the salient qualities in the lives of each one of them, that if I can take this to heart, if I can bring loyalty in my relation, if I can learn to bring the balance in my life, and from Sayyidina Mu'adh, if I can learn to acquire and accumulate knowledge, but not halt at that point, but to take it to a further point of internalizing it, as I will explain. He said, just as the Quran said, Sayyidina Ibrahim was an entire nation despite being an individual, we used to say the same regarding Sayyidina. The Quran said regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا. He was an entire nation. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, from the galaxy of Sahaba, if there was any individual who could represent a nation, it was none other than Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. But what did Mu'adh ibn Jabal say? He said, تَعَلَّمُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَلَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْعِلْمُ حَتَّى تَعْمَلُوا. Listen folks, get the scholars, have the conventions, have the workshops, read the literature, compile the books, create the auditoriums, fill the libraries, engage at length, and you can go on and on and on. This will not aid or assist you in the court of Allah until and unless you don't translate your knowledge into action. And I think the ummah has stagnated at this point. The words of Salma bin Dinar, Abu Hazim, always strikes a chord with me. When he gave a long address to Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. And then in the end, the king said, go on and tell us more. And he said, إِن كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْتِجَابَةِ فَقَدْ قُلْتُ مَا فِيهِ الْكِفَايَةِ. If you're a man who applies his mind, then adequate has been said. And if you're not a man who heeds the advices, then why should I release my arrow when I'm not hitting targets?
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.